Welcome to our Twitter space. My name is David Feldman. I am a licensed family and marriage therapist, and I do work here out of Chicago. I do see clients all over the world via phone or WhatsApp or Zoom, and I've got great programs for couples and for singles who are trying to get married or in relationships. And my purpose as a therapist is to help people build great marriages. And that's a gift, I believe, that we all can receive and participate in. So I always encourage young people or even older people who haven't been married or this is their second marriage to give it a shot. It's worth it, in my opinion. So, okay. So today we're going to be dealing with how to protect your relationship from cheating, okay? And I oftentimes will make spaces based on some of the things that are going on in my practice, maybe some trends that I'm seeing or some issues that have come up. And I wanted to talk about this today because I feel like in today's society, you know, with the advent of social media dating, whether it's Tinder or meeting somebody online on Instagram or, you know, Match.com or whatever it is, that the concept of long-term relationships has been watered down. And what that means is that I think many of us have lost touch with what does it mean to find the one in our life, the one who we're going to settle down with. And not just what does it mean emotionally and spiritually, but practically, what does that mean? And how do we create a relationship where the sanctity of our relationship is upheld and adhered to? Okay, because again, in today's society where men and women can interact and see each other and meet each other so frequently that we need to be, if we want to have a long-lasting, connected relationship where there's fidelity and commitment to each other, we need to really work extra hard. It was once brought up to me just recently that never in the history of humanity have men had access to seeing so many women in their lives. I mean, you think about it, 100 years ago, how many women would a man possibly get to know or see or talk to? Many men didn't have any women at all. They died single. For those who had the resources and the capacity to interact with women, it was something that was took a lot of effort and work. And today, it's simple. You just open up a web browser and you can be talking with hundreds, if not thousands, of women over a short period of time. And the vice versa. How many men have women had access to, right? How many men can women look at and say, wow, this person would be good for me, or maybe this person would be, you know, a great husband, right? So in today's day and age, there's so much coming at us in terms of our possibilities or potential that some of the techniques that we need to implement in order to sustain a 30, 40, 50-year relationship just seems so out of date and so contrary to what's going on that I believe that we need to review them and we need to talk about them and we need to strengthen them. Otherwise, what happens is what we see today, which is that, you know, either young people aren't even bothering, you know, getting in any relationships, or the relationships they have tend to be very short term or unfortunately riddled with downfall, you know, riddled with negative things that happen within the relationship, which ends up destroying them. So the first thing I want to talk about is, you know, who are we looking for when we want to enter into a long-term relationship? We're all familiar with the concept of soulmate. Some people discuss this as twin flames. They call that. That was a term popular a couple of years ago. I don't know if people are still using that, twin flame. Or in your everyday vernacular, we say the one, right? One thing we have to realize is that finding your soulmate or finding the one or finding your twin flame is really hard. Okay. I mean, it takes a lot of time for us to find somebody who we feel is going to be relevant for us for a long-term relationship and partnership. Most of us don't just bump into that person on a regular basis. It's very rare that we find somebody who meets whatever criteria we're looking for, whether it's personality-wise or cultural-wise, values-wise, looks-wise, attraction-wise. It's not easy, right? So we need to realize that this is an important choice and decision that we have to make that takes a lot of time and effort. So when we do find somebody who we believe could be the one, or if you are married to somebody who now has become the one, we need to treat this relationship as such and realize that this was not an overnight decision that you made, that this was something that for most people took some time and effort and energy to create. So that's the first thing we need to recognize, that the person that you're in a relationship right now, if you are considering a long-term relationship with them and you do feel like you want to marry them, most likely it took you a lot of effort to get there. So we don't want to do anything to jeopardize that relationship. Okay. Number two, what does this mean when we talk about the one or your soulmate or a marriage potential partner or even your husband or wife, right? This is the person whom you are going to build a lifelong relationship, family, and legacy with. Okay, this person becomes your world. And if you're a woman, this is the father to your children. And this is the man who will be by your side and support you for the rest of your life. And if you're a man, this is the woman who's rearing children for you and giving you her life and her love and her body and her heart, right? This is serious business here, okay? So we have to treat it as such, right? There's nothing casual about a long-term committed relationship. It's serious business. And the reason why I'm just saying this, it may seem obvious, but again, in today's society where relationship seems to come and go so quickly, and there's a normalization of divorce and heaven forbid cheating, or even not just a normalization, but a glamification or a glorification rather of polyamory. And, you know, sometimes if you go on medium.com, you see dozens of articles, you know, I cheated on my husband and was happy about it. You know, you see these, in my opinion, these horrible concepts being pushed out to the general public that glorify the antithesis of what we need to be doing in order to protect the sanctity of this precious and important relationship. Okay, so we need to understand who this person is for us, right? And I'll give you some stories in a little bit about showing you, you know, what I mean about this. The third thing I want to mention when we talk about the one or who it is that we're going to build a relationship with is that there's this common misperception that this person, your soulmate or your twin flame or the one, is the person who you feel best around or who you get along with best. That is so not true. It's unbelievable. Most people that I work with, most couples that I work with struggle, right? And that struggle is part of building that connection. Right? Like I always like to say, we're actually one soul, but we're split into multiple bodies, into two different bodies. And the process of marriage is trying to unite this one soul, but with all the difficulties of uniting two different bodies. And what do I mean by two different bodies? I don't just mean our private parts, because that usually doesn't take that could be difficult, but it's usually not that difficult. But more important aspects are we have totally different personalities. We have totally different backgrounds. We have totally different upbringings. We have totally different, maybe we have totally different desires or sex drives or communication styles, right? This is all our corporal being that has a hard time coming together as one. So your souls are connected, and that's why we feel so strongly about each other. But that's not enough. We actually have to get along in real life, right? And that's not easy. And it just gets more and more, it can get more and more difficult over time. Because you and her may be great as a young, hip couple after college, but wait till your first children come along. Then all of a sudden you're going to see parts of your partner that you had no idea existed. And there's going to be differences that come up on how to raise kids and how to build a family that you are totally unaware of. So getting along with your partner, so to speak, or seeing things the same or feeling really great about them, that's not what it means to be connected or part of a soulmate relationship, right? Creating that beautiful, warm environment, that's going to be your journey together, right? That's going to be the challenge that you two are going to face and that you can overcome, right? That you can create. That's the beauty of this long-term relationship. Okay. But again, in order to do that, we have to implement and we have to be familiar with and comfortable with certain ideas that are going to protect the environment that we need in order to build such a relationship. Okay. So, and there's even a whole philosophy or a whole practice in therapy called imago therapy, which basically, I don't know if anybody here is familiar with imago therapy, but the idea, it's kind of got a spiritual bent to it, but the idea behind imago therapy is that each partner represents something about the other one's childhood that was never solved or was never healed. So I'm going to like something about my wife at first. Let's say my wife is a very funny person, so I'm attracted to her sense of humor. Right. And then what happens is that after it always happens after you get married. Right. It doesn't matter how long you date for. Right. Because you're never going to see this until for some magic reason. It only happens after the knot is tied. For some magic reason, her sense of humor is going to start getting on my nerves. Like, seriously, like I'm going to start saying things like she's never serious enough, or she doesn't take things with the weight that I think so, or her jokes are cutting, or her sarcasm really annoys me, right? The same thing which you were attracted to before you tied the knot is going to be the very character trait which is going to drive you bonkers afterwards. And the reason why that happens, according to imago therapy, is that there's something about the way she expresses herself, the way she holds herself and communicates, which is reminding you very much of a childhood wound that was never healed. Maybe you felt that one of your parents never gave you the time of day, or didn't believe in you enough, or didn't listen to you or hear you when you expressed yourself. And when your wife makes a sarcastic joke, even though she's just trying to be funny, and even though you thought at some point in the relationship that was funny, that brings up your childhood insecurities, right? So we're seeing from this therapeutic methodology that there are those who are involved in, you know, counseling and in marriage counseling and psychology that strongly acknowledge the fact that your partner is going to be specifically the one who's going to get under your skin the most. Okay, so we just have to be prepared for that and recognize that that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with the relationship. Usually that means that there's something very right about the relationship. I know it's a little twist, but usually that means that there's something very right. And two mature people are going to be able to come together over the thorns in their relationship and work them out, really allowing the soul to really connect on the deepest level. Okay. All right. this is what the significance of this relationship is all about, obviously. And we can talk further about the significance to your children. And I don't want to get into statistics about, you know, children who are raised in single family homes. And I don't want to get into any of that, but let's just say on a personal level, right? Okay. So what's at stake, right? What's at stake if we don't protect our relationship from cheating? What's at stake, right? So I like to say everything, right? Everything's at stake, right? What does everything mean? It means your future, right? A situation where there's cheating in your relationship is going to wreak havoc in your future. Some people recover. Many do. Many don't go on to have healthy relationships moving forward. And some people just cannot connect, have attachment issues or abandonment issues from that point forward, where they've just lost all trust. So we do not want to put ourselves in that situation or be in that situation. Okay. It's not just your future, but it's your past. I mean, you speak to any woman who's been cheated on, and the first thing she's going to say is, he wasted 10 years of my life. Right? So all the good times that you had up to that moment in time, right? Let's just say you two got along great and you took trips together and you had, family time. All that goes down the garbage, especially for women, right? It's gone. Right? They'll take albums, photo albums of some of the best times in their life from 8, 7, 10, 15, 20 years ago, and they'll burn them in a fire. Right? So it's not just your future that you're talking about, it's also your past. Right? And then of course your present. People who are going through this process of having a partner cheat on them are devastated emotionally. And so there's a lot of risk here. There's a lot of downside to this whole cheating. So and we're going to talk about this in a minute. We need to put in place processes and systems that protect our relationship from this fire pit of d destruction. Okay? Okay. So let's move away from some of the negative aspects and let's talk about what we can do. So how do we protect our relationship? Well, I've had many spaces and many conversations. I have tons of blog posts and articles. And if you're following me on Twitter, I've got lots of tweets about how to bring us together. So there's things like kindness and gratitude, communication, obviously a healthy and consistent intimate life is, sex life is really, really important, right? So these are all the positive things. But what I want to talk about, focus on primarily today is more the boundary aspect of how to protect our relationship. What kind of boundaries do we have to set up to make sure that our relationship stays holy and private between us? Okay? So some of the less known ones, but things which are important is we don't want to show off our relationship, right? We don't want to be publicizing our love together. We all know celebrities who post all the details of their relationship online, and it would be a miracle if we can find more than one or two who do that who don't end up in divorce, right? So popular celebrities that I'm familiar with that have had, long-term relationships are like people like Pierce Brosnan, who I believe he's an Irishman who played 007, he played James Bond. Never see much about him online with his family. And he's a family man. He's had a wife for 20 plus years and he's happily married. There's the guy who played Wolverine. I forgot his name, but he's a famous actor from, I believe it's from Australia, that he was in some of the Marvel comic movies and he's a very famous man. And he has been married for decades. But again, you're seeing that with these couples, they're not publicizing and making something public, that which should remain private, right? And this, when I say private, I'm talking about even to your friends, right? You don't want to be showing off about how great your husband is or talking too much about your wife in front of your friends. You can always show appreciation, but to discuss the intricacies of your relationship with people outside of a maybe a confidant or a priest or a therapist or something like that, it's not good for your relationship, right? Because it's just like with jewelry or something like that, right? We want to keep things private, right? A jewel that you have goes in a safe. We don't just leave it on the kitchen countertop, right? Yes, you can wear it, but when you're not wearing it, you tuck it away in some place where it's safe and covered and protected. And the same thing with your relationship, okay? Another thing that we want to do in order to protect our relationship is we want to put a fence around who we associate with. Okay, if you are hanging out with single people or very unhappily married people who are constantly talking negatively about their spouse, or you're hanging out with, let's just say, single people who are constantly flaunting the one night stands that they're having or the random sex that they're having, you are setting yourself up for a fantasy in your mind which has no basis in reality. Okay. And I, you know, at the risk of being a little bit gender specific here, I find in my experience, the people that I've worked with, this affects women more than it affects men. You know, I have had so many examples. Not only do I read about them as a therapist, but even my own practice, where there's a married woman and she's close with a bunch of friends. And the next thing you know, these friends are telling her, well, your husband shouldn't have done this, and he's not a good that. Maybe he's speaking to you in ways that isn't good. And next thing you know, she's got it in her head that that her soulmate is somehow, you know, a horrible person, right? And now I'm a therapist, so I definitely advocate that if you're experiencing difficulty in your relationship, you should definitely find somebody who you trust, who you can express yourself to. So I in no way encourage people to close off themselves from outside influence and from outside counsel. That's my whole business. So I'm not in any way suggesting not, but you have to be discerning in who it is that you surround yourself with. Very, very important. Okay. You want to find people who are marriage positive. It's a big distinction. Marriage positive. They believe in marriage. They're positive towards it. They think that it's important to have and be in a long-term relationship, and they encourage people to work out their differences. Very important, because if you hang out with people who say, well, you know, you can do better and you can find another person, and you know, he isn't that, you know, you need to explore in life and get to know yourself. This is going to just be taking a sledgehammer to your own personal commitment. Okay. And then the third thing I wanted to bring up, which is probably the most important, okay, is we need to protect ourselves from hanging out with, fraternizing, and getting to become too familiar with members of the opposite sex. I know today, in today's society, it seems so archaic. Right, it seems like the Mike Pence rule, or you know, only trad cons do this. I don't know if I'm a trad con or not. I don't exactly know what that means, but this is foundational. Okay, this is absolutely foundational. I'll give you two reasons. The first reason is because men and women are naturally attracted to each other. You put a single guy on an island with a single woman. And there's no way on a deserted island, there's no way that they're not going to have a relationship. Okay. If you're spending significant amounts of time in a social situation with a member of the opposite sex, there's a good chance that something will happen. Okay. So, because God created us that way, men are attracted to women and women are attracted to men. So, that's just natural. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that you're not trustworthy. It doesn't mean that you're a cheater. It doesn't mean any of those things. It's just that's just the way, you know, you throw a baseball up in the air and it's gonna come down, right? It's just the rules of nature. Okay. So we don't want to be spending significant time with people of the opposite sex, just in general, in any type of social situation. And you know, to be honest, in a prolonged work situation, it's the same thing. Okay. The next thing is because I believe, and I'm a Orthodox Jew, that this is what's explained in our Torah, in our religion, that there's something called ruach shtus, which basically means it's a spirit of folly. And what happens is that specifically with regarding to intersexual dynamics, people can be overcome with an irrational spirit that just gets them to do things that they wouldn't naturally do on their own. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard, as well as women in particular, or men that I've worked with, that once they're caught or once they realize what they did, they look back and they say, how could I have done that? What was I thinking? Right? I wasn't even attracted to that person. Right? Or it's almost as if that once they're caught or the divorce papers are served, they wake up from some sort of trance or dream state that they were in, that when they look back upon it, they're mortified that that this even happens, and not just mortified, they're confused, right? Most of them don't say, well, this made a lot of sense, I just made a poor choice. Most of them say, that I've worked with, is, what was I thinking? How could I have done something so stupid? I'm not even attracted to that type of person, right? So between the idea of our natural attraction to people, which occurs for every one of us, and the other idea, which is our minds can be hijacked when it comes to these things, we have to have extra fastidiousness in protecting our relationship from too much socialization with members of the opposite sex. It's just the way God created us, and it's just what works best. Okay. And if you are in a relationship with a member of the opposite sex, let's just say it's a coworker or a neighbor or a friend of a friend or something like that, and they don't respect your boundaries, that itself is a huge red flag. Okay. Because you know what's right for you and your husband and your relationship and your wife. And if you're, again, if you're around people or surrounding yourself with people who don't have a respect for your boundaries, it's time for you to, you know, move on from that connection. I want to give two stories that have happened recently that I think will bring home the seriousness of this issue. Okay, the first one has to do with a friend who is courting a woman in a long-distance relationship. And they've been creating a strong intimacy with each other. And they're almost at the phase where they're ready to, you know, meet up. They've met before, but they want to meet up and get married, right? And again, this has all the significance of what we were talking about earlier. We're talking about a lifetime together, tying the knot, building a family, having a legacy, creating a legacy with each other, having a soulmate, a partner for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, right? And for whatever reason, the woman is unable to stop interacting with a gentleman in her area that it keeps courting her. So while they're building this relationship over long distance and they're ready to meet up again and to tie the knot, there's this third party that keeps interfering, right? And this is not something casual for this man. And he's in a really awkward situation where he's trying to, you know, they're not married yet, but he's trying to express himself that this is very uncomfortable for him. Right now, the woman looks at it differently. She says, well, what's the big deal? We're only going out to dinner and we are only, you know, we're friends and we play, you know, tennis together and we hang out, we go out to lunch. This man is beside himself. You know, he doesn't want to give more of his heart, invest more of his heart into somebody who he feels is not taking the relationship seriously enough. So what's at stake here for both of them is literally a lifetime together. Okay, this is not a joke. All right. I mean, what my point is that if we all came to the situation and the, you know, where when our relationship starts to get serious, we respect the boundary that we stop going out to dinner or hanging out with or spending time with members of the opposite sex, this couple has a chance of building a family together. Right. But as long as there's one of us, or worse, if there's both of us that just think it's perfectly okay to be going out to dinner and getting drinks with and hanging out with and talking to members of the opposite sex while you and I are in, you know, trying to build something intimate, they're destroying whatever the chance they have to build a lifetime together. It's not a small thing. It's not a small thing. This is not a Tinder date. And this other person, this woman, is risking her soulmate and a man who would literally support her and love her and be with her. And this is somebody who she likes. Okay? What I'm trying to point out here is that totally undermining her own chance to build and find a husband for life who she likes for this foolish, you know, choice of going out to dinner with some numbskull who anyways wouldn't be her soulmate. Okay? It's very serious. Okay? And, you know, claims that he's so insecure or why is he trying to control her are just stupid. Okay? But they're just stupid. Okay. Sorry. I'm passionate about that because, you know, I've spent so much time, you know, on this, and it's so heartbreaking to see and to hear about. It's heartbreaking. Okay? We cannot put our relationship in jeopardy by this foolishness. Okay? By posting everything about our marriage and our relationship out on the internet, by getting emotionally close to members of the opposite sex, by spending time with people who are not, you know, by confiding in people or talking to people about our relationship by people who are not marriage-minded, marriage-oriented, and by believing, you know, by hanging out with in unrestricted ways with people who we shouldn't be hanging out with. These are basics of protecting the most precious part of your life. More precious than your job. More precious than your best friend from high school. More precious than your freedom and independence. Right? This is you, your past, your present, your future. Never mind, I haven't even discussed your children. Okay? If your soulmate ends up not being your soulmate and you're convinced of it because you've taken the proper steps to make that decision, then respectfully break it off and move on. Okay? But the devastation of these, of the choices that we make because our minds are just not in the right place is unbelievable. Okay? So we have to, you know, as with anything that's precious to us, we need to protect it, right? That means for ourselves, we need to let our spouses know we're cutting off relationships with, we're minimizing a cutting off with, you know, relationships with people who don't belong in our marriage or our immediate family in terms of social things. You want to go out with your girlfriend? You know, you want to go out with your friends with, you know, your girlfriend, he was a best friend of yours, then go out as a couple. You and your husband go out with him and his wife, right? But it shouldn't be that he finds out that you're hanging out at some sort of restaurant after work with an old boyfriend or vice versa, or a coworker who you've become really close with, that after a hard day's worth of work, he's just taking you out for a quick dinner. It doesn't work that way. And vice versa. If you're a man, you know, there's no reason to be texting women or liking other women's sexy posts on Instagram. All of this is just breeding, sowing distrust in your relationship. And like I said, even if you, just like that story that I gave you, this guy did not cheat on his wife, but because his wife thought that he did, look at the path that ended up taking her down. Okay, so we can't just do things and press the limits. And by the way, the last thing I'm going to say about this isn't about our comfort level. Well, I'm comfortable doing this, or this is something that I want to do, or this makes sense the way I see relationships. Who cares how you see relationships? This isn't about you. This is about how comfortable your spouse is, right? The bar isn't what I like. The bar is what she likes. Right? Because I have to make her feel that I'm trustworthy. Okay? So there's no such thing when you say, oh, you're being insecure, or stop making a big deal out of this. Those are foolish words, and they're cruel. Right? We need to take our relationship seriously. Again, if you're a big Tinder player and that's what you want to do and you want to have four or five girls on rotation, this spaces isn't for you, right? But I'm saying if you want to protect a long-term relationship with all the benefits and all the incredible personal growth and pride and benefits and love that it brings to your life – we need to protect it. And we can't make fun of these old-time rules and these old-time, you know, methods that people used for decades, for millennia, for thousands of years to keep their relationship sacred. Okay. I would like to offer anybody here the opportunity to share a thought or to give their input into what I've said. I do have a hard stop at 1 o'clock. I'm sorry, I did speak a little bit longer than I anticipated, but I appreciate everybody being here. I would love to open up the floor if anybody wants to speak. Just, you know, maybe there's something that I said. Maybe somebody here has an example of how they tried to trust their partner, but their partner just wouldn't, you know, create a trusting space. Or maybe they are the ones who just felt, you know what, David, I hear what you're saying, but this is just very insecure of you. And, you know, I've been called all the names in the book, so you can't scare me with Let me call on Dean.
Hi, David, that's great stuff. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question here. Sure. So in a lot of these situations, these things don't just flow from ignorance, right? They flow from a deeper kind of motivation where one partner wants to continue, let's say a guy wants to continue texting girls or something while he's trying to build a relationship. How do you think people should approach, or how do you as a counselor approach a situation where the motive is not there to really sacrifice for the relationship that's being built?
Yeah, that's a great question. So obviously it seems to me like you're not speaking about somebody who's already married or already in a committed relationship. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just as people are building that relationship.
My approach in general to dating, so this may knock me out, Dean, of, you know, the kind of people, the kind of relationships that you're referring to. But my general approach to dating is that we date to find that long-term partner. So again, if somebody's just dating because they just want to, you know, either just meet people or just casually see people, then my words might not matter so much. But if you're dating and you sense that this person can be a long-term partner, then that needs to become your priority. Meaning your motive is that you want to lasso in, so to speak, or start building that foundation of trust between you and this person. You know, that's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about where there's a heart-to-heart feeling that you have with a woman who, in your mind, you believe could be, quote-unquote, the one, or the one that you want to be connected with for as long as you can be, right? The second that that feeling enters into your purview, into your heart, that's the time you need to know that texting other women is detrimental for you. It may feel good at the moment, but it's undermining your own connection to this person, and you're putting this valuable relationship in jeopardy. So when you talk about motivating somebody, it's about for that man to get in touch with what he really wants out of this dating relationship. And once he has clarity on that, in my opinion, the motivation comes to the surface and becomes pretty obvious. I don't know, how did that sound to you?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that the other situation is that this kind of behavior, you may have said this, you may have touched on this, kind of reveals motive. And, you know, my experience is a lot of people get into these relationships and have a misunderstanding. So let's say there's a man and a woman, and she thinks the relationship is more serious than he's taking it or something like that. And it's only when this kind of behavior surfaces does, say, in this case, she see that he's not as serious as maybe she thought, or that he's deceiving himself. something like that.
Yeah, I totally, I hear what you're saying. One way that you can handle this is that if one of the partners, this may be a good, you know, a good thought to toss out or to at least contemplate during these types of situations. If one of the partners believes that the relationship is on that level, then perhaps it behooves the other partner to treat it as such until they feel confident that it's not that way. So okay. If what do you think about that, what I just said?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if the communication between the two can kind of facilitate that, right? You know, in terms of like having that mutual understanding that we're going to behave this way until, I guess I'm just thinking of a situation maybe where the guy, I'm just using the guy as an example, he's just not as honest and upfront about what he really wants. But I think we've answered my question. So if there are other people who want to speak, I don't want to monopolize all the time.
Okay. Yeah, I know. It sounds good. Yeah. You know, one way that I like to do in terms of the communication is one thing that's always important to me is that instead of requesting something from your partner, we come forth. It takes a little bit of vulnerability, but we come forth and we express ourselves the way we want to show up. So, for instance, if you were feeling a certain way about a woman that you felt like, you know what, I really want to give this relationship a chance exclusively, then that could be something that you say. Like you could 100%. Say to this person, yeah, you could say to her, hey, you know what, I've really, really enjoyed getting to know you. I think that, you know, you and I make a great pair. And just so you know, I'm going to stop seeing other women or stop looking or talking with other women, you know, and give us a chance.
Yeah. And I think, you know, on the coming from the masculine end, I mean, I really think that's a great example. In fact, a necessary thing to establish a pattern of masculine leadership in the relationship is for him to come forward at the beginning and say, you know, I've kind of made some decisions about what I want. And to lay that out there and give her the opportunity to respond.
Yeah, that's great. That's the best. Awesome, Dean. Hi, Lorena.
Yeah, well, this is more of like I'm hoping to get some of your perspective on a situation I was in recently. So I would say I'm pretty new to like the concept of dating for marriage and like specifically dating more masculine men. I think in most of my 20s, I've been I've dated more guys who are a bit more, I don't know, just, yeah, not super masculine, right? So I'm in a different playing field than I'm used to, I guess. And I was dating someone sort of recently, and things were going really well between us, and it had only been about 2 months, but he had asked me to be like exclusive, as you described. That's what made me think of it. And then unfortunately, a couple, like maybe just some days after this conversation happened, he went out with some friends and got drunk and like slept with someone else. And my reaction at first was like, okay, then this is over. And then I kind of backpedaled afterwards and tried to see if maybe it was still early. So we, you know, could give it another try. And his response was that like he didn't think he couldn't see a relationship being possible after what happened. I think based off of like trust being violated early. And it's been hard for me to reconcile that because I'm like, oh, I don't know. I would have been willing, but yeah, I guess I'm trying to understand the masculine mindset because I would have been like more willing to just give it a go. Anyway, I don't know if you have any like thoughts on that or if that makes sense to you.
Well, no, it doesn't make sense to me that somebody would do that to you. Absolutely not. That makes no sense to me at all. But that being said, you know, one thing that we want to be cautious of in relationships in general is when people start speaking for us, right? When people start speaking for us and start defining our reality. So in your situation, Lorena, it appears as if when he committed his behavior, what he did, he started going into your reality and tried to define how you would perceive the situation. And that's like a little bit of a breach of boundaries right there. So I think that if you are perhaps more of a relationship specialist, meaning like, you know, unfortunately, we don't become more specialists in relationship until we're in our 40s and 50s. Unfortunately, we usually don't know what we're doing until then. That may have been something that you could have said to him. You know, you could have said, I hear what you're saying, and I understand that for you, that would have been an unspeakable breach of trust that would have been non-repairable. But I'd like the opportunity to speak for me and for my reality, and I'm willing to forward that is going to work for the both of us. You know, unfortunately, he didn't give you that opportunity and instead decided to leave. So in my opinion, he had two strikes already, which was that he went against his word. And then the second thing he did to you was he kind of defined for you your reality, which I don't think is fair. So in my book, he's already struck out twice. So I'm not sure that he would have, if you would have stayed with him, he wouldn't have struck out that third time as well. Just saying. But I applaud your desire to only date marriage-minded men and to be forthcoming with your desire to, you know, build a relationship that's going to be everlasting. So good for you. And I hope that you find that man or that he finds you immediately. And we should only hear good news from you and your relationships. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I know you're doing a hard stop in a couple of minutes, right? So, well, I just want to say thank you. And I hope the same. And I think you're right. I didn't think about it that way before, but about the boundaries and definitely a second red flag. So it was unfortunate, but yeah, I'll still be out there.
Good. That's it. That's what you want to do. Cool. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing. Okay. Let's see. Mother of sons, you wanted to speak. Did you want to unmute yourself?
Hi. Yeah. Well, I've got no skin in the game. I'm old and out of the gene pool, but I have some sons, and I don't know. It just seems like this entire problem is just unsolvable. So long as the entire marriage system and cultural system is set up against men. I mean, why would a man want to get married? What do women bring to the table? Very, very little. And if we could just have a system in our culture and in our legal system where men were protected and guaranteed the benefits of taking on a woman and her offspring, which would be his children, presumably. People talk about protecting your relationship for cheating. I think that on the men's side, it just comes down to not driving men away. And the bigger concern is preventing men being cuckolded. It's women who cheat just as much as men. And that combined with the cultural and legal protections for them to do so is just upsetting everything. And I don't know what could be done. There's very little in it for men. And there's everything in it for women. And I just don't know what could be done. I mean, yes, men may cheat. And I've heard the biological explanations on why men are driven to spread their seed. And I think ideally, if a woman just behaves blamelessly and sweetly, she won't be shamed and abandoned, even if a man does sometimes exercise his privilege to, you know, go where he can. But we're not seeing that. It's not tit for tat. It does not equal. The repercussions of a woman cheating are far, far more devastating than a man doing so. And there's nothing in our society or our legal system to protect the interests of men. So I don't know if this problem could ever be solved until we take back the power of the patriarchy.
Wow. That's not an opinion you hear every day.
Well, no, I have three sons, and I'm there. You know, I would like them to go forth and propagate and live happy lives, but everything is stacked against them entirely.
Yeah, you know, there's a piece of me, even as a marriage therapist, that, you know, totally agrees with you on that. You know, I look, and you have three sons, and thank God I have five sons. So, you know, I'm in the same boat. I want to make sure that my kids are protected from, you know, the horrors of family court and the way things are set up today. So, yeah, I agree with you. And I personally think that if something's going to change, it's going to, you know, it's going to have to change from women. You know, like a woman like Lorena here has got her head screwed on straight, and she's trying to find somebody who takes marriage seriously. And it sounds like Lorena herself is going to take marriage very seriously. And, you know, we can go on and on and on. I do have to go in just 1 minute, but, you know, I feel that at some point, mother, that marriage is going to be for the privileged, and it's literally going to just work out for those who have decided that come hell or high water, they're going to make it work, and they are going to make those sacrifices that keep the family intact and have that vision for their family and their husband and their wives and their children. And it's going to be part have to do with the way they're educated at home, part have to do with the role models they've seen in their life, part have to do with the content that they consume. But I do feel that moving forward, there's going to be a shakeout of people who just say marriage isn't for me, for what all these different reasons. And there's going to be the few who say, you know, this is something that I can't live without, and I'm willing to learn about it, ascribe to the values, and sacrifice for it. That's where I see it. That's where I see it going, you know, personally. But listen, I have to run. It has been such a pleasure to chat with everybody here today. I really appreciate everyone's time and participation. There's so much that we can talk, so much more that we can talk about. I know there's so much more wisdom in this room, in the spaces, and I'm sure that other people have a lot to share. So we'll do this again. You can find me on Twitter. If you're here, you probably have seen me at David Feldman, or you can go to my website, davidfeldman.com, just first name and last name.com. And I've got tons of free videos and master classes, blog posts, podcasts, lots of great stuff happening over there. And of course, Twitter's where all the action is. And everyone, I wish you a fantastic day, a great relationship, and God bless each and every one of you. Take care. Bye.